Welcome to Paint Ed. Hey, I'm Chris Shank, the education guy at the Painting Contractors Association. PCA provides painting contractors with the training and connections they need to grow their business. To find out more, visit pcapainted.org. On this episode of Paint Ed, we talk with Amanda Haar from InPaint Magazine about their yearly survey and what contractors are saying about their experiences in the industry. It's always interesting to hear what is on other people's minds, but it's even more interesting to hear what your peers are up to when that information could help you improve your business. Are you curious about what other contractors report as working or not working in their business? This podcast is a start, but you can head on over to InPaint's website at inpaintmag.com to find the whole thing. A direct link to the survey results online can be found in the show notes of this podcast. Hey, Amanda, welcome to Paint Ed.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be back.
So it's always nice to have you on, and you're over there at InPaint, and you put out some pretty neat issues. And something recently went out in the July-August issue. It was a survey, the annual survey that went out, I guess, in the May timeframe, and you got all your results and had some interesting findings.
Yes, that's correct. In our July-August issue, we published the results, and this is a survey we've been doing for about 4 years now. And we talk about we ask questions about business strategies, practices, and challenges, and then we also look at product preferences, which tend to stay pretty steady, but what we have varied from year to year are some of the questions about business strategies as approaches to business have changed, become more digital, and lead sources have changed, and that's the thing that's evolved with each survey. And what we do is we publish the overall results from all the respondents. But I think what's also interesting to look at is how it breaks down by the various age groups of our respondents.
Okay, yeah, tell me about that breakdown a little bit more, and what you do with that.
Okay, well, we can break it down into three groups: the respondents of ages 18 to 40, then 41 to 50, and then 51 and over.
Okay. And why do you do that? What are you looking for there?
Well, we're kind of trying to figure out how do things vary. So are the younger people really that much more tech savvy than the older people? How do the struggles vary between the older respondents versus the younger respondents? And just kind of, we're always looking for what are the pain points so that when we figure out what our editorial lineups are, what lineup is going to be, we're looking to make sure that the content is really as relevant as it can be. And that the survey is incredibly helpful for that.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. So tell me some of what you guys found out. I'm very interested in this.
Looking at what the respondents said was their most successful lead sources. This was interesting. In 18 to 40 group, the number one was family and friend referrals. Number two was word of mouth. And number three was Facebook and Twitter. And when you jump to the 41 to 50, number one is word of mouth. Number two is past customer referrals. And the third is family and friend referrals.
Wow.
So they shared the word of mouth and family and friend referrals.
And there wasn't online stuff there.
Nope. Wow. And then when you get to 51, the number one is past customer referrals, word of mouth, and then past customer rehires. So only the younger group cited Facebook and Twitter as a good source of leads. And only the oldest group referred to past customer rehires. So they're doing a good job of going back and tapping the previous customers.
Yeah.
The others don't even cite that. Plus, customer referrals pops up and family and friend pops up. But really, the idea of tapping that well that you know has money in it.
Now, that is interesting because that's the repeat business right there.
Right, exactly.
I'm trying to think if anything else covered repeat business in the other findings. But it sounds like that's the one repeat business, right?
Right. The rehires.
Wow.
The others are word of mouth or referrals, which doesn't necessarily mean repeat business.
That is interesting. So if those two groups got together, they kind of learned from each other, which I think does happen for sure. But it's also, man, I wonder if there's different methodology just a little bit there that kind of requires a lot of investment. I mean, really, if you're going after repeat business, you have a certain way of running your business to get that, as opposed to, you know, the referrals and the online stuff. And I'm not saying you should only do one more than the other, but I could see why somebody from each of those perspectives might say, well, I really have to be all in. You know, it's
right.
Either this or nothing, but it doesn't have to be. But learning how to broaden your reach and your business, you know, marketing type, that's going to be interesting for people to learn how to broaden themselves like that.
Absolutely. The other factor is that if somebody's presumably 51 and over, they've probably been in business a longer time. So their base of potential past customers to hit up again is going to be significantly higher.
Yeah, yeah. And then you're not scrounging like all the time, always trying to find new leads. And you're kind of like settling into the fact of, okay, I've built a great client base and I can continually go back to that, which is what everybody wants. Like you want to get to that point. Okay. Right. I think that is also revealing a little bit too. Yeah. Good point. I like the point you make there.
It will be interesting to see, presuming we keep this question on there, which I think we would over the long haul, you know, when these people go from the age of 40 to 45, how do their answers change? Do they suddenly, does past customer rehires pop up?
Oh, right. Right. Exactly. And again, the hope would be, like everybody, again, trying to go and get cold leads, it's a lot of work and a lot of capital spent on that. But you should get to the point where you have an easy flow of, you know, repeat business while also, if you want to continue expanding, getting those new leads. So I guess it kind of depends on where you're at. Okay, well, that's very interesting. I know that we do a lot of education on things like online marketing. We're going to have a workshop at the expo. We have using Instagram to get more business. And Instagram for a while was that social media platform that you didn't know if it was valuable or not. Does it really help us get business? Is it people are talking about, kids are talking about it, but is that the next thing? What should I be doing on Snapchat? It's kind of hard to tell, but it does look like Instagram is rising up. And now we see businesses, some businesses are making that their sole marketing strategy, that is where they get all of their business. There are companies that literally say that here in PCA. So it's not, it's becoming less rare, I think, to find business and find leads on Instagram. So again, when we had Ken Tucker talk about that recently on a webinar, and it was all about, here's how you really do it. Here's how you really make it work. It's not just a fun platform to trade pictures and goof off. You can run your business on Instagram. So I think it's interesting that there's a wave of that that's really working, that people are really saying, I'm getting some real business out of these types of leads. Along with the other types. So anyway, that's interesting. What else did you find?
We also asked them about what are the sources you look to most for trade information. Across the board, the number one answer was websites.
Okay. So trade information like education, training?
Yes, absolutely. All of that. And product, all of that.
Yeah. Okay.
Where you start to get into the variables is in the second and third. So in the younger group, the second place was actually a tie between videos and then magazines and books, which were lumped together as a group. And then when you came to the second group, 41 to 50, they flopped it, and it was magazine and books followed by video. And then the third group, no video at all. They cited magazines and books and then association.
Oh, wow. Associations was in there, huh?
Yep.
Wow. That's interesting. That's actually... Yeah, enlightening, of course, us being an association, like to think. Now, I wonder if videos, you know, because we put out a lot of videos, we put out podcasts, we put out things. So I wonder if that's going to be like they may not think of themselves as using an association for information. And yet some of the information we put out, like the Trade Best Practice series, are videos. And so they may think, yeah, that thing is useful. Maybe not all of everything an association puts out. I'm curious about that, but that's interesting.
Yeah, when we gave them the option of videos, we had put e.g. YouTube. So I think most of the respondents are thinking, you know, going online and finding somebody demonstrating a product or a technique.
Well, that's good for us too to know, because I'm just saying how we're benefiting from learning this stuff. And I decided when we went into this podcast, I didn't want to hear all the results from you because I wanted to learn it on the air as everybody else is learning it, so I could ask my stupid question so nobody else has to. But that's interesting because we were talking about where do we put our education and training, and we were talking about locking it up in a LMS, you know, where people have to log in and create accounts. And we do that with a lot of the deeper information, for sure, more concentrated training. But we also want stuff out there, and we're actually developing a YouTube channel for that very reason. We want it to be much more accessible. But that's actually really good to know. So how do contractors use that piece of information? Just out of curiosity, knowing this is how a lot of people are looking for it. Is that kind of a indication that online is still a really good place to find education?
I believe that's how I read it. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's how I read it. And I think what happens is that people will scan these overall results and be like, huh, I haven't really spent much time doing this or looking at that.
Right.
And say, okay, I'm gonna take a moment and dive into it and see what's there.
Yeah. And this is where a lot of manufacturers and education providers are putting their information because they know people are coming to look for it. So go there. Go where people are putting the information. Okay.
Right. The next interesting question was, what are the factors that are obstacles to your business? And absolutely no surprise, number one and two across the board, all age groups, number one was staffing, and number two was time management.
Mm.
So those are universal challenges.
Yeah.
And then on the third tier, which I think is not surprising when you think about it. So the younger group was the third, 18 to 40, third item was training, 41 to 50. Was winning business or not enough leads, and 51 and over was estimating. Mm. So as we referenced earlier, the older group has been in business longer.
Mm-hmm.
So they've probably got their training set up. They probably have their systems in place for winning business and getting leads. Mm. And now they're just trying to keep up with the inquiries.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And the younger group, their expectations, because their goals are probably not as high, so they're hitting their goals in terms of numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So the challenge is getting the training in place and getting the guys and gals in place and ready to roll.
Yeah. And there's a lot of new information out there about caring for your team, basically, and mm-hmm. creating good, positive job culture, work culture, and making sure you're reducing turnover, you know, retaining your employees, making a place that's satisfying for everybody and missional or purpose-filled, so that way your team feels like there's some. I was reading recently something that was saying that still studies are confirming again and again and again that a lot of employees are rating as the highest priority in their work for themselves is finding meaningful work and doing meaningful work, and that always rates higher than salary and promotion. Retire the promotion too. So it's not status and what you make is not maybe as important to this next generation. We're fine. And I think this is known, but it's just confirmed again and again. And so we look at that training that they're investing in hiring, making sure you have the right people on the bus and they're going to take you places in the long run. But it's long game thinking. It's kind of understanding that you just have to take care of each other to really make a meaningful team. Well, that's interesting. Okay.
Yeah. And I think what's good for the PCA, though, is you've got the younger group who are more technology savvy and also citing that they like the video, and you're putting up all these training videos.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you're on the right track there.
Yeah. Well, we hope so. Okay. And then you have a fourth category here, right?
Yep. And that was, what are they seeing for future growth? Cool. So the younger crowd, 18 to 40, number one, they said less than 10%. Then they said over 20%, and then 10 to 15%.
Mm.
And then the 41 to 50 and the 51 and over had the same three in the same ranking, which was 10 to 15%, and then flat, and less than 10%.
Mm.
So overall, those two older groups are not quite as optimistic as the younger set.
Mm.
And I think that's part because when you're trying to go, let's say you're in a new business, you're going from 100,000 to 130,000.
Mm.
That's a, you know, it's a smaller number to hit than if you're at 800,000 and you're trying to maintain or grow.
Yeah.
So
proportionally, it's maybe a challenge that's going to be much more achievable for sure.
Seems. Yeah, I think that's what that reflects.
Yeah. Okay. I also wonder if, I always say this too, like there are certain times in our life where you have this strong, unyielding ambition, this passion to do great things, and you do have to kind of reach further than what maybe you can attain. And maybe it is much more attainable, like you said, but you kind of have to dream big dreams too. And the entrepreneurial spirit sometimes seems a little crazy. It really does. It seems like madness in a way where it's like, you talk to somebody, you realize they're almost obsessive talking about business all the time and talking about growth and talking about money and talking about hiring and training and all these. You just can't get it off their brain. You go to the expo and this madness is so contagious and it's fun. It's really fun.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because the madness is the passion. But it kind of has to be. Like, how do you, you know, make sure you're taking advantage of every opportunity out there to kind of build a certain sense of luck that's a mix of hard work and opportunity. And how do you do that unless you like believe these fantastic dreams, you know, and these hopes that you have of making it big? So it's a little bit of craziness, but it works in a weird way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I think as long as you have a vision and you have a plan for realizing that vision, it's not so crazy.
Right. Right. Exactly. And it's not about getting exactly that. Sometimes it's better in a way that you never thought of it being better. And so perspective comes with experience and, mm-hmm. and maybe I wouldn't say it tames your passions at all, but you are better able to harness those passions and to maybe unite and integrate those with, you know, a seasoned intellect. We all know how that is. We were just now talking about our daughters before we got on this podcast. And, you know, we both have daughters that tend to be a little bit more chaotic, it sounds like, but creative is a better word for that. And, you know, I call my daughter, you know, a storm because it's just, it's, and how do you tame that storm? Well, you don't. You just try to create boundaries, you know, so it just doesn't spin out of control. But the creation that comes out of those lives is just beautiful. And it's stunning to people who don't have that unbounded energy and hope and vivacity. You know, who is the one that said, unless you still have a little bit of chaos in you, you cannot give birth to a star. And so I think like that's the entrepreneurial spirit. It's crazy, but it's a good crazy. It's maybe not so
100%.
Crazy.
Yeah. Absolutely. And you know, and there are people who like a more tame approach to world and to life, and the chaos people, I'm one of them. We need you.
Right.
You know, you need those people and you need each other. And as long as you can find them and make sure everybody feels valued and their talents are maximized and recognized, I think you're in a good spot.
Exactly. And I'll say too, like that word tame is going to sound really bad to the other side. I keep using it, but it's not, it's measured, right? It's structured, it's process. It's all those beautiful things that look tame to wild, crazy entrepreneurs sometimes. And again, they all shapes, sizes and sorts. And like, there's all kinds of different ways of doing business. And so it doesn't have to be the one way, but it does become a passion for everybody at some point, I think. So anyway, I think that's interesting. The growth, you have to project that. We did a panel debate. It was called the Throwdown Debate a couple years ago at the expo. We did it 2 years in a row because it was so successful. And one of the debate session titles was Blitz or Bliss. So the whole idea, do you want to grow in this blitz of just growth no matter what? Or are you looking for the stable business bliss of knowing that you're making ends meet and you got good margins and everybody seems to have their heads together and in the right place and working together and things are smooth and streamlined? Or are you just like, is it this all out, you know, breakneck speed to try to accomplish some of these growth goals that just break, they hurt your brain to even think about sometimes and stresses everybody out. But some people are get caught up in the frenzy and in the hype and they love that. So which is better? Neither is better, but they both are a different way of going about business. So anyway, I love the growth topic. That's kind of interesting to me, that monomania sometimes of, you know, the growth mindset and how to get there. And you just have to dream big.
You do.
Okay. Can I go back real quick though?
Sure.
I wanted to touch on this and I just remembered the time management piece of obstacles to business. You said some of the younger business owners mentioned that. Can you open that up just a little bit?
It was staffing was number one for all three age groups and time management and scheduling was number two for all three age groups.
Okay. And I know that project managers, that's like a big deal to try to get that one under control. I know there's a lot of good technology out there for it, but I've seen people really struggle with that and businesses struggle with that. So I'm just more curious about that. And while we talk about production and we've had some great world-class operation manager sessions, we had a session at Expo, we had a podcast, we had a webinar, and we try to talk about that kind of stuff, but it's still difficult. Matter of fact, this is not just to keep plugging the Expo, but we have a workshop coming up where Torlando Hakes is going to be talking about Sprint. And you know Torlando, right?
Yes, I do.
And he is basically going to unpackage Scrum management more and going to be talking about specifically how you can build team roles and do project scheduling and team meetings. So it's like this really robust and really well-structured system on how to do that. And he's worked it all the way through. He's gotten to his business now you know, to where they're doing these sprint meetings like really, really well. He's helping other businesses do it. And they're going to be providing some helps in this workshop to help people learn how to do it and really customize it for their business. So I know that.
So is that an application, or that's just a meeting of shared information?
It's just a way of thinking about business management. And I know that it's been used in the technology world. But what Torlando did was get a hold of it, and he just understands it really well. And so he turned it into a book. He actually wrote a book, Scrum Management for Painters, and he calls it Sprint, so for painting companies. And it's specifically how do you create team roles specifically inside of a painting business, and how do you do scheduling that really fits this industry, and you know, what would meetings look like that doesn't wear everybody out, but that also keeps everybody up to speed and on the same page. And his grasp of it is amazing. So I remember he did an expo session on this one time. It wasn't quite the same because now he's done this huge deep dive into it. And then he wrote a book on it that he's actually in editing right now. But, you know, I just said, we need more of this. This is a system that even if people don't adopt it holistically, they could definitely take the best parts and revolutionize their business. So I think that's hopeful for the time management piece. But I know that's really scary, especially for a lot of people coming up in the painting business that, you know, they didn't go to business school necessarily. And so they know how to paint, and then they know how to teach people to paint, and then they have some business acumen. They have a knack for it. And then they find themselves right in the middle of this big nightmare. And I think it's scary. So
hiring so many variables and so many pieces coming at you and going away from you all at the same time. It's a lot.
It is. Hiring is hard because you want the right people. But when you finally do get all the right people, that could be scary too, because you're like, okay, now I need a good system. And you want to have that in place before all the people are hired to get there, because you want to use your team environment to attract new employees. That needs to be part of your selling your company to new employees. So you kind of have to build this atmosphere, this culture before people get there. So anyway, that's hopeful that there are some things on the horizon that can help. But I just found that really interesting that that showed up there. I think that was number two in that the list of the young. By the way, the young age there, 18 to 40, right?
Correct.
I want to say thank you for making me right at the very edge of that young group.
You're welcome. We had you in mind.
Okay. I was going to say, that makes me feel great. I don't feel so old now. No, but well, thank you for doing things like this. I think this is going to be very valuable for people to see. Okay. So they could see it in the July, August issue of InPaint.
Yep. And that's also up online. So if they don't receive the print issue, you can find it online at InPaintMag.com. Again, the magazine is free. So if you're on InPaintMag.com, just hit the subscribe button, fill in your info, and we'll mail you a copy every other month. We do 6 issues a year, not quite every month, but close. And then we have an e-news that it's a companion. It's not a duplicate of the content in the print magazine, but it's articles that support and are related to what we cover in each print issue.
Well, fantastic. You guys do a really good job over there. I'm excited to do podcasts with you, maybe quarterly, just to find out what's going on, what your best articles are. I think this was a really good one to start off, again, 2019. I know it's getting close to the end, but we're going to try to do these a little bit more often because I really enjoy it. They're very useful. So thanks for being on Paint Ed.
Thank you for having me, and you're very welcome, and we'll talk again soon.
Paint Ed podcasts are a product of the Painting Contractors Association. To find out more about upcoming education opportunities or for more information about joining PCA, visit pcapainted.org. We'll see you next time. Unless you still have a little bit of chaos in you, you cannot give birth to a star.